So last Shabbat, in remembering Kristallnacht, I had shared with you the moments regarding three young men who would not conform to the ways of a kingdom. You may recall these verses that I shared with you. Because they were called out in Daniel chapter 3, verse 8, starting in verse 8. But then some Kasdim approached and began denouncing the Jews. They said to Nebuchadnezzar, the king, may the king live forever. Your majesty, you have ordered that everyone who hears sounds of the horn, pipe, harp, zither, lute, bagpipe, and the rest of the musical instruments is to fall down and worship the gold statue. And that whoever does not fall down and worship is to be thrown into the blazing furnace. There are some Jews whom you have put in charge of the affairs of the province of Babel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, your majesty, have paid no attention to you. They do not serve your gods, and they do not worship the gold statue you set up. So they were expected to conform to the orders of the king. Verse 13, in a raging fury, Nebuchadnezzar ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. When the men had been brought before the king, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true you neither serve my gods nor worship the gold statue I set up? All right then, if you are prepared when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, harp, zither, lute, bagpipe, and the rest of the musical instruments to fall down and worship the gold statue. Very well. But if you won't worship, you will immediately be thrown into a blazing hot furnace. And what God will save you from my power then? So they were called out. They were also threatened with consequences should they not conform. They were singled out and ultimately stood alone. They were to be made an example because we know that there were many other Jewish people in Babel who did not conform. Yet these three young men held strong. They were in positions of authority within the kingdom of Babel. Yet these three men, as I mentioned, did not respond to the king. We read in verse 16 that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king. Your question doesn't require an answer from us. In other words, what you have said to us, we don't even need to answer. But your majesty, if our God, whom we serve, is able to save us, he will save us from the blazing hot furnace and from your power. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will neither serve your gods nor worship the gold statue which you have set up. Regardless of what the king does, there is no way these young men will conform to the king's order. Even if the king were not to conform to his own orders, there would be no consequences. Yet it is the use of authority by the ones in power that causes to question the very edicts they enact. So we've been seeing for a while that people enact orders, yet we're also seeing that they don't follow their own orders. There have been countless contradictions in one's actions versus one's instruction. Though we may not be facing the smoldering embers of a furnace, we are being expected to conform to unilateral orders regarding mask wearing, restrictions on gatherings, whereby some states are now dictating what you can and cannot do in your own home, specifically for Thanksgiving in California. You can have no more than 10 people or three households gather together. You must do it outside, and you cannot sing or talk loudly. And for no longer than 2 hours. You are to worship at the feet, so to speak, of the government. Yet the adage of what is for thee and is not for me rang enormous bells when the governor of California was witness attending a party that violated his own rules. I have the link to the article in my notes, so at your convenience, you can read the sheer hypocrisy that goes on. So we know that Adonai is true to his word. Numbers 23:19, God is not a human who lies or a mortal who changes his mind. When he says something, he will do it. When he makes a promise, he will fulfill it. So we know he means what he says. He says what he means. He is a doer of his own word. And ultimately, there is no hypocrisy anywhere to be found. Under no circumstances would Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego follow the order to worship the statue of the king, for that he had ordered them to worship and thus go against the word of Adonai. Now, I want to emphasize the difference in the example I have shared and what we are enduring today. The distinction should be understood as performing idolatry in bowing down to other gods, a major transgression of Adonai's word, for we read in Exodus or Shemot 20, starting in verse 3, that you are to have no other gods before me. You are not to make yourselves a carved image of any kind of representation of anything in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the water below the shoreline. You are not to bow down to them or serve them, for I, Adonai, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but displaying grace to the thousandth generation of those who love me and obey my mitzvot or my commandments. So this isn't a message conveying civil disobedience, but in this case, calling out the hypocrisy of those who govern. Yet this isn't even the primary focus of my sermon, but merely context relating to a situation whereby it may appear that we are alone when we are truly not alone. We are not alone. The Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would endure the punishment for not conforming to the king while honoring the king. And when you read my notes, you will see that I differentiate the king lowercase and the king all uppercase. So when you hear the king, usually the second time I'm referring to Adonai, Yeshua, God. So what occurs? Nebuchadnezzar became so utterly enraged that his face was distorted with anger against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace made 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men in his army to tie them up and throw them into the blazing hot furnace. So these men were tied up in their cloaks, tunics, robes, and other clothes and thrown into the blazing hot furnace. The king's order was so urgent that the furnace so overheated that the men carrying Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were burned to death by the flames. So this is giving you an understanding of the level of intensity. That the ones performing the king's requirement or request or order were burned up in doing so. Now imagine what it was like in the furnace. And then in verse 23, these three men fell bound into the blazing hot furnace. So when it appears that all was done, the final decision is made and thus executed, while quoting the old cliche, it is darkest before the dawn, then the sun peaks up on the horizon. Light overpowers darkness. And we read in verse 24 of Daniel 3, suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar sprang to his feet. Alarmed, he asked his advisors, didn't we throw 3 men into the flames? are bound into the flames? They answered the king, lowercase. Yes, of course, your majesty. But he exclaimed, look, I see four men, not tied up, walking around there in the flames, unhurt. And the fourth looks like one of the gods. Three men went inbound, yet four are seen walking around in the middle of the flaming furnace, unharmed, untouched by the fiery flames. In the midst of the inferno, which should have consumed the flesh of these three men, was likely not even considered to be a sauna, but a day in the presence of their king, capital K, capital I, capital N, capital G. Shalom in the midst of chaos. Daniel chapter 3, verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar approached the opening of the blazing hot furnace and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, your servants of El Elyon, come out and come here. They emerged from the flames, the viceroys, prefects, governors, and royal advisors who were there saw that the fire had no power on the bodies of these men. Not even their hair was singed. Their clothes looked the same, and they didn't smell of fire. The power and the authority of the king, Nebuchadnezzar, was no match for the power and the authority of the king, El Elyon, to where there was a transformation that would occur. Verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to deliver his servants who trusted in him. They defied the royal order to the point of being willing to give up their bodies in order not to serve or worship any god but their own God, capital G. Therefore, I herewith decree that anyone, no matter from which people, nation, or language, who says anything to insult the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is to be torn limb from limb, and his house is to be reduced to rubble, because there is no other God who can save like this. Who you are and how you act against those who do not embrace what you embrace can be the means by which a transformation can occur. Remember, you are witnesses to the king. And one of his titles, one of his names, is El Elyon, God Most High. Yet we know him as Yeshua, God of salvation. He saved them in the furnace. He revealed himself. So the king, capital K, was seen in the midst of a fiery furnace with three men who would not conform to idolatry. They honored him and he protected them. They now knew that their God would save them. And keeping in mind the realization of Nebuchadnezzar, who proclaimed, you don't say anything against their God, I'd say he had a transformational moment. For remember this, your majesty, in verse 17, if our God whom we serve is able to save us, he will save us from the blazing hot furnace and from your power. It is no longer the if, a condition based on the sovereignty of Adonai, but a question of when. For those who honor him and thus call upon his name, as Joel 3:5 conveys, at that time, whoever calls on the name of Adonai will be saved. For in Mount Zion in Jerusalem, there will be those who escape, as Adonai had promised. Among the survivors will be those whom Adonai has called. This is a promise Adonai conveyed to the prophet Yoel upon his return, but was experienced firsthand by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they recognized their God and king over and above the king of the land. just as Yeshua would stand on behalf of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, starting in verse 54. On hearing these things, they were cut to their hearts. This is the sermon that Stephen gave, condemning the leadership for not embracing Yeshua. They were cut to their hearts and ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw God's Shekinah with Yeshua, his glory with Yeshua, standing at the right hand of God. Just as there was a fourth person standing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look, he exclaimed, I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And this they began yelling at the top of their voices so that they wouldn't have to hear him. And with one accord, they rushed at him, threw him outside the city, began stoning him. And the witness laid down their coats at the feet of a young man named Shaul. And what occurred afterwards? He called up to Yeshua, said, Lord, I commit my spirit to you. And from the moment where he was being stoned to death, he was likely in the presence of the Lord. So too the king, capital K, would stand with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the midst of a fiery furnace. The king has not left us alone. Nor are we ill-equipped against the power of darkness, and thus the darkness that is further consuming this world. For in Yochanan, or John chapter 14, starting in verse 15, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforting counselor, like me, the Spirit of truth, to be with you forever. So just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego honored Adonai, the king, in keeping the commandment not to worship other gods, and thus were not alone, so too Yeshua is conveying the same message. Honor my word, and you will not be alone. The Ruach HaKodesh will fend off the fiery flames of the furnace to where you will experience no harm. You may be protected from the harm of this world, although you may not, because there will be martyrs. Yet no harm will come to your place in the world to come. That is the kingdom, so long as you remain united with him. So what am I saying? Whatever happens here, so long as you remain with him, you have a certainty of hope regardless. But in this world, you are not alone. Yeshua has provided us with a presence, a power, which is not available to the world, but to those united with him. Verse 17, the world cannot receive him because it neither sees nor knows him. You know him because he is staying with you and will be united with you. I will not leave you orphans. I am coming to you. These words are promises of Yeshua before he leaves. To remain united in him means to trust his words. I spent the entire summer talking about faith and trust. If you need to review, do so. These sermons are all online and are all recorded. 11 messages pertaining to faith to further strengthen your faith in challenging times. Consider this the 12th message, in that we have witnessed the conviction and obedience of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What they experienced in the king, capital K, being with them, we too will witness. Because in John chapter 14, verse 20, it says, when that day comes, you will know that I am united with the Father, and you with me, and I with you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not know of Yeshua as we know him. but they knew him as El Elyon, God Most High. And thus the very words of Adonai are the very words of Yeshua, for Yeshua is not conveying anything different. Because in verse 23 he says, if someone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego loved God. They loved their God and honored him by not bowing down. Because here is the contrast or the contrary that Yeshua reveals. Someone who doesn't love me doesn't keep my words. And the words you are hearing is not my own, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you these things while I am still with you. But the Counselor, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything. That is, he will remind you of everything I have said to you. What I am leaving you with is shalom. I am giving you my shalom. I don't give the way the world gives. Don't let yourselves be upset or frightened. What I am leaving you with is shalom, he says. My question to you, in having received the promise of Yeshua, the Ruach HaKodesh, do you have shalom? Do you have peace? Are you living in shalom? Are you living in peace? Are you empowered by the Ruach HaKodesh? I leave all these questions to you because next week we will explore what living a life of shalom empowered by the Ruach HaKodesh is all about. So if you want to know, you need to be here, or you have to wait for it to be posted online. One of the two. So keeping in mind, I've given you the starting point. I've given you the foundation that they did not bow, that they honored the word of God, that the power of God's Spirit resided with them because God resided with them. Now the question is, are we living by the power of God or not? And the question is, what does that look like? That's for next week. But for now, if you take anything away from today, remember the title of the sermon, You Are Not Alone. So if everybody will please rise.